Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 3rd, 2020, from James Island. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features some in-depth looks at the state's stagnating unemployment situation, improvements within the state's unemployment agency, which has seen worrisome numbers for the fund that is paying $40 million a week in unemployment benefits. We look at the dozens of municipalities with mask ordinances and hear from officials concerned about just how bad things may become after this holiday weekend. Speaking of which, happy 244th birthday, America! You're not perfect, you never have been. But what or who is? All we can do is do our best to make this country live up to its values such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you can do your civic duty by socially distancing and wearing a mask if you just have to have a barbecue with your entire neighborhood, as if spreading COVID-19 takes a holiday. As for me, it'll be me, my dad, and stepmom hanging out with a few drinks, sparklers, and of course, a Capital Fourth on SCE TV at 8 p.m. But tell us what you're doing on July 4th and what else is going on in your world. Leave us a one-minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, what you did for the holiday weekend, what you're doing day-to-day. We want to hear from you. 803-563-7169. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing and is not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 787 deaths. And currently there are 41,413 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of July 3rd at 2:15 p.m. The percent positive rate is at 20.7%, which is just below our record high rate. 1,148 hospital beds are currently occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19. And we're at a 73% statewide hospital bed utilization rate. Now, of the 41,413 cases that we have reported so far, 27,231 of them have occurred since June 6. So think about that. More than half of all of our cases have happened in the past month, folks. I know you see that 41,000 number, you think, oh, well, that's cases since March. Yeah, but 27,231 cases since June 6. Yeesh. When you're trying to blow your fingers off, at least have a mask on, folks. As of this taping, 34 municipalities have passed face mask ordinances covering 19% of the state's population based on the 2020 census numbers. And I'm going to list them for you right now, guys. Get ready for it. Listen up. Maybe you might hear your municipality. Beaufort, Bluffton, Camden, Central, Charleston, Chester, Clemson, Columbia, Edisto Beach, Florence, Folly Beach, Forest Acres, Georgetown, Greenville, Hilton Head Island, Isle of Palms, James Island, Kiowa Island, Lake City, Lexington, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, Newberry, North Charleston, North Myrtle Beach, Orangeburg, Port Royal, Seabrook Island, Spartanburg, Sullivan's Island, Somerville, Sumter, Walterboro, and Winsboro. If you didn't skip that part, I don't think we're going to be listing these in the future again. But also, I want to add 10 more municipalities that have passed face mask resolutions. They are Aiken, Anderson, Goose Creek, Hanahan, Hardeeville, Hartsville, Lancaster, Lawrence, North Augusta, and Ravenel. So these together with the other 34 total, over 1 million people out of the 4.5 million people on the 2010 census books. But as we all know, we're above 5 million people in the state right now. And then you factor in the ordinances passed at the county level, including Beaufort, Charleston, Colleton, Dorchester, and Georgetown counties. So a lot of people are covered out there. under ordinances right now. And again, I'm not expecting anyone to memorize all these that I just lifted off. I'm not even doing that. That's why I'm saying thank you to our friends at the Municipal Association of South Carolina, specifically my friend Casey Fields for this great info. Always a great resource. And you can find some more information at masc.sc. That's their website. Moving on, Department of Unemployment and Workforce Director Dan Elzey was before a House panel this week dealing with COVID-19 and the economy. And he said that the agency, which has helped 635,688 South Carolinians receive unemployment insurance benefits since mid-March, has reduced average call times for those benefits from 4-plus hours to 24 minutes. But listen to him as he takes us through the past 4 months at his agency.
On March 1 of this year, I had been in this position about 10 months. And for those 10 months, I had spent probably 95% of my time not in unemployment, in workforce development. And on March 15th, the whole world changed. Someone could just as well have dropped a bomb into South Carolina. We went from 2,000 claims per week until about March 15th. And then we start like a skyrocket, heading up. It takes 4 weeks to get to 88,000 in 1 week. Not cumulative, but 88,000 claims in 1 week. We peaked at that point and started heading back down. And over the next 10 weeks, we've got down to essentially where we are now, right around an average of 19,000. Now, you'll see the number up there is lower than that. But the past 4 weeks, we've sort of been treading sideways. It's not dropping like we had hoped that it would, like it did for the first few weeks. Instead, it's just moving sideways. And what's that mean? It means more people are laying off, more companies are laying people off. It means more people are not going back to work for one reason or another, not wanting to go back to work, and I will address that. One other point I'd like to make, though, is putting this whole thing in perspective. People look at 88,000 and say, well, Dan, you're down to 18. You know, why do people still have problems getting through the system, getting on the phone and talking to people? 18,000 is double where we were at this time in 2009. The worst economic situation we've ever been in our lives in the state of South Carolina, and we are double that right now. And it does not look like we're going to get any relief from it anytime soon.
Elzey said that the modernization of the unemployment system from a mainframe to the cloud in 2017 was expensive, but has been critical to navigating this crisis while states like Florida have completely fallen apart. Elzey admits the program is still a bit clunky, though.
Call center had 50 people in, 49 to be exact, pre-pandemic, handling a small number of callers per week. We could handle it. Somebody came through Scooby, they can get on the phone, we can get them through the claim filing process. As the number of calls start skyrocketing, you look at the number up there, we had 239,000 callers in 1 week, 239,000. So the system was absolutely overwhelmed. We brought in an expert on call centers, hired him, and we have been doing better and getting bigger every day. We are up to 651, I think it is, people on the phones today. Much more importantly, 500 of them are now trained at tier two level, tier two or tier three. The problem as we're going from 50 to 650 is that the bulk of the people on the phones don't know the answers. So they're being trained, and people are being trained today and will be continually trained as long as we go through it. It isn't over, and we don't foresee this unemployment situation being over for some period of time.
So again, more than 600,000 folks received some form of unemployment payout, some all through the 20 weeks of eligibility, others just for shorter periods of time. Now, this has caused a drop in the unemployment trust fund from $1.1 billion to currently $685.3 million. Now, right now, officials say that fund is paying out about $40 million a week. But unfortunately, people are not returning to work as fast as officials expected now that we're in June and July and they can see these numbers trending out. Now, currently, the worst case scenario would put the trust fund balance at $0 by late December. The best case, there would be around $200 million at that time. So now, the trust fund is getting a $500 million boost from the CARES Act money that the legislature passed and the governor signed into law. But to get that fund back to pre-pandemic levels will require employers to pay around $250 million a year in taxes for the next 4 years. Just so you know, the past year, employers paid $195 million in unemployment taxes to the fund. And we'll have the latest unemployment data for you and reaction to it in our business section in just a moment. And as we head into our business section, just want to let you know that President Donald Trump, who has long been opposed to face coverings, said this week, "I'm all for masks. I think masks are good." This is what Trump said on a Fox Business interview on Wednesday. And it's worth noting that in early April, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended that people wear cloth face coverings in public. Initial unemployment insurance benefit claims are not dropping as quickly as officials had hoped. For the week ending June 27th, the number of South Carolinians who filed their initial claim for unemployment insurance benefits was 16,959. This is only a decrease of 139 claims from the week prior. Oof. Here's what Dan Elzey, Executive Director of the Department of Employment and Workforce, said in a statement. Quote, "While the number of people seeking first-time unemployment insurance fell, the state is not seeing the movement week over week for which we hoped. There are still a lot of questions and unknowns as to what the future will hold, how long this economic stall will go on, and what the true magnitude of the impact will truly be. Job cuts were highly concentrated in the restaurant, travel, hospitality, and retail industries. While those industries are still feeling the residual impact, the effect is continuing to spread to other sectors like professional services, manufacturing, and healthcare, as sustained weeks of hardship drag on," quote. So a lot of questions and unknowns. So folks, this is still not over. We know it's only ramping up when we look at the case numbers. And we even saw the governor tweeting a picture of himself wearing a mask saying, "Jobs depend on it, wear a mask." So from what we can deduce, if you're not wearing a mask, you're a threat not only to football coming back, but to return our economy to a stable state. So wear your mask. Zooming out, nationwide, the June unemployment rate continued the downward trend, falling to 11.1%, thanks to 4.8 million jobs being added in June. And this is after 2.5 million jobs came back in May as well. But remember, here's the context. We lost 20 million jobs in April. Still not back to where we were, folks. And now, with the economy sputtering in parts of the country, including South Carolina, due to massive COVID-19 case spikes, economists say the June numbers aren't necessarily telling the full story. Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn had several economists on a Wednesday conference call who said that the numbers may be a bit misleading since data was collected before those recent COVID-19 case spikes. Here's Dr. Jason Furman, a professor of the practice of economic policy from Harvard University.
Is the report we're getting reflects where the economy was a couple weeks ago. The higher frequency data that we're seeing on consumption, on employment, on the like, appears to have leveled off to some degree since then. And we've seen some of the reopenings reversed in some states. And so, you know, while it's very likely that the economy made progress between the middle of May, which was the previous jobs report, and the middle of June, the period covered by this jobs report, whether or not that progress has continued since then is much more of an open question. And in fact, that progress has a ceiling on it, absent an effective response on the health side, because without that, you can't have the sustained reopenings and support for jobs.
Dr. William E. Springs, who's the chief economist with the AFL-CIO and a Howard University economics professor, said global headwinds and economic pauses mean this will be a long recovery.
You need to remember that as some businesses have slowly come back, even if the unemployment rate trickles down, we will still be at an unemployment rate above either the 1980s downturn or the Great Recession. We will still be in the worst labor market on record. And that takes time to clear. During the 1980 downturn, we stayed at double-digit unemployment for over 8 months. During the Great Recession, we stayed near that peak level for near 8 months. So as we slowly regain some jobs, as we feel, or maybe not, comfortable because of the virus is kicking back up. We may see losses in future months from that. You still have to worry about the recession. And that number is going to be very slow to come down. We face a very strong dollar. We face no global trade. We face that the trade where the United States is positive, looking at tourism, looking at foreign students coming to our universities, all of those things that would help us in a recovery will not be present. These are very strong headwinds that will make the regular recession very difficult to recover from.
Save the economy, folks. Wear a mask. I'm going to keep saying it. DHEC's Dr. Brannon Traxler was before a House panel this week where she discussed new guidance for employers to evaluate employees who are sick or who have tested positive for COVID-19. You can find that interim guidance of COVID-19 scenarios on scdhec.gov. But Traxler also told the panel about what some COVID-19 cases look like. Yes, overall they are mild, but some people require hospitalization and serious medical attention.
So I think that certainly we are seeing more young adults and even teenagers who are testing positive. It is significantly in the last several weeks been the largest part of the population that's growing in terms of cases. What I would tell them is that, as you said, it's not fun. Even the minor illnesses with this are not fun. You feel very badly. And there's also the other people around them that may be more vulnerable, for whom catching COVID-19 may result in going to the hospital, being put on dialysis, you know, for their kidneys shutting down, being put on a ventilator to help them breathe, potentially even sometimes, you know, having to have their blood oxygenated even outside their body in extreme circumstances. And of course, the worst outcome being death. And it's really incumbent upon all of us to protect each other, and especially those more vulnerable people in our society. And those vulnerable people are not just people who are of older age. They're also people who, of any age, who have medical comorbidities or have low immune systems. And so this really is something where this is a chance for the young adults and teenagers to step up and be leaders, be the generation that shows that they can wear masks and that it is cool to do. And, you know, they can still live their lives, but they just need to do it from that 6-foot distance, as Chairman said, and while wearing masks to decrease the risk.
Now, here's a very special report from South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney. Yes, it's been a while since we've had Russ on, but he has this report on how public health officials are bracing for what they see as a possible, unimaginable number of new cases of the coronavirus from this weekend.
As South Carolina enters the July 4th weekend, public health officials are bracing for what they term as a possible unimaginable number of new cases of the coronavirus. Governor McMaster said this week the state is facing a test.
It's time for us to make up our minds. July the 4th is coming. Everybody wants to get out, but it is a dangerous opportunity for us to spread this virus.
Anticipating large gatherings of people at beaches and other events over the 4th, state officials are pleading with residents to avoid crowds, wear masks, and practice social distancing. The number of new cases of COVID-19 surpassed 1,000 every day this week, over 1,600 Thursday, bringing the total number of cases to just under 40,000. State epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell of DHEC says the state is in a public health crisis.
South Carolina's disease cases first began to rise in May, in the days following the long Memorial Day weekend, and they have increased since that time. So considering that as we move into the 4th of July weekend, this is a particular concern. If we're not careful about how we move about during this upcoming holiday weekend, and as we congregate over this holiday weekend, we could see cases rise to the levels that none of us could have previously imagined. This is a public health crisis.
There have been 777 deaths reported by DHEC, and the number of persons tested showing a positive result was at 17% this week. DHEC's Bell says the state must get the rising number of cases under control, and that's going to be up to individuals.
And as we celebrate our nation's birthday this weekend, it's a time for us to remember all of those who have sacrificed before us. And in a way, this pandemic is challenging each of us to consider our duty to one another. It's a duty that requires us to look out for the well-being of others, despite the inconvenience and the sacrifice that's being asked of us all. And if we don't take that action now, if we don't social distance, if we don't wear our masks, then we're going to see more of our friends, our family members, our loved ones, who will continue to become ill, who will be hospitalized, and many will die.
Governor McMaster has been steadfast in his position of not reimposing restrictions like stay-at-home orders and the closing of businesses, but he's warning that if new cases of the virus aren't curtailed, those restrictions still in place, such as no concerts, athletic events, or open movie theaters, won't be lifted.
And if we want to go into the fall with the schools opening, with football games and all of the things that go along with that, all the kind of celebrations and concerts and gatherings, we must control the spread of this virus.
McMaster continues to resist calls for a statewide mandate for people to wear face masks in public. The governor, who nowadays wears one in public, maintains there are constitutional problems with blanket orders like that. But he's now encouraging local communities to pass ordinances requiring the wearing of masks. This week, a growing number of cities and towns enacted mask ordinances. Most of the state's largest cities now require them. Steve Benjamin, the mayor of Columbia, says his city was simply following the advice of healthcare professionals. The long-held tradition of spending the 4th of July at the beach will continue for many. All of the state's beaches plan to be open. While governors in Florida and California opted to close some beaches in their states, Governor McMaster said this week he did not consider ordering state beaches to close.
And there you go, folks. That was Russ McKinney, South Carolina Public Radio's The Russ McKinney, the voice of reason that we all needed to hear. Thank you, Russ. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you going to work? Are you out of work? We talked a lot about unemployment. Tell us about your unemployment situation. If you had to go through that whole system, if you've gotten your job back, or did you get your job back and then all of a sudden you guys had to hit pause again? We want to know these things. Tell us what's going on the front lines and maybe what you're doing for July 4th at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us your name, where you're calling from, and a message about 1 to 2 minutes long at 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any new voicemails?
We have a voicemail, and we also have a text that I will read after the voicemail. So apparently we could get texts on our hotline. So
yeah,
let's roll the tape. Let's roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
Hi, my name is Lisa Grant Coffin. I'm calling from Chapin in Lexington County. And I've been wanting to call for a while, but I wasn't quite sure what to say because so many things, you know. But anyways, I'm going to read you an exchange that I had, and I have permission to do this with my friend in London. Her name is Deb, and she's got a daughter that's 27 and a younger son. Jade owns an eyelash company franchise. I have a son who's in New York now. He was transferred there. He works for the federal government, and two girls at home. So this is our story. I said, "Hi, Dee, how are you doing?" She said, "Hi, Elisa. Okay, thanks. Still a nightmare in the UK with this shower of blink. I'm going to blink the expletives in government. A real mess. They are opening pubs next Saturday, but Jade's business is not allowed to open. We went out last night for a walk and bars, etc. Already open, but you have to drink in the street. We had one and went home. It's all pantomime. How are your girlies doing? Is it still crazy there, too? Seen on the news, South Carolina looked pretty bad still, or is that fake news?" My reply, "Unfortunately, it's not fake news, D. People here won't wear masks and all are in some sort of alternative reality, so our case counts in South Carolina are approaching 2,000 new per day and should zoom past that figure shortly. Hospitals are at 70% capacity. Cities are passing mass ordinances, but the governor refuses to order a statewide requirement, so my town is still stupid. Anything beyond the grocery store, which masked up and is organized to be as safe as possible, and I'm going to Columbia to buy because the masks are mandatory there. No clue how this ends because it's skyrocketing here, and funding ends July 25th, yet there's no work. So most consumer spending will crash and more businesses will close. The West is blinking stupid, D. Kids and I are good, but bored. Spencer and Becca are doing well in New York City, and I'm happy for them. They are careful, but cases are down there, so they've done a beer garden or two. You couldn't pay me to go into a restaurant here. Be careful out there, darling, okay? So many idiots, and it only takes one. She replied, we are so stupid and self-entitled, aren't we? I mean, the U.S. and the U.K. No, I'm not interested in Pugsley, so I was walking the other night for fresh air and did have one in the street, but inside a bar, forget it. Back to the kitchen. Yes, it's boring for sure. We have another year of this blank, I reckon. Bankrupt and blank. You take care, too, Lisa. I miss you. So, it's a global thing, especially in the West. We're all stuck. I'm stuck at home, watching dramas, doing DIY, keeping up with the news, hanging out with my kids. We have a tabletop ping pong table thing. I converted the dining room table, and we play croquet on Sundays. We're staying in. Oh, and I make masks and mail them to everybody, so they have them. Something I can do, so why not help people, you know? But I listen to you guys every week, three times a week. Keep doing three times a week, please. Thank you very much.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling. And you had your numbers down really, really well. So maybe you should have a little, we get a little guest spot here on the pod for you. And thank you for listening three times a week. I know a lot of people felt like you thinking about calling but not knowing what to say. And that was just a really fascinating perspective to hear from your, you know, your friends over in the UK, and then also knowing that your son's up in New York. So a lot going on for you, a lot to keep up with. But again, thanks for listening and calling in.
Oh, I wonder, Gavin, how her friend Dee is celebrating the 4th in England. Oh, wait, they don't because they lost.
I mean, I'm not going to dunk on her friend, but they know what they did. And we know
okay,
what we did.
Let's get to this text, which was eye-opening to me that we could get these.
Yeah, it really is. Read it aloud, AT.
This is from Laura Lee in Tamasee, which I like that flows well. Hey, SC Lead, Laura Lee and Tamasee here. Last time we, quote, went out was the weekend before St. Paddy's Day. My husband goes to work every day but gets checked. He works at Michelin and Anderson. I've been averaging a trip to the grocery store once a month. Our local farm-to-consumer program, Clemson Area Food Exchange, has been phenomenal in keeping us fed. I also keep a garden and got chickens to be more self-sufficient. That's it.
Well, that sounds awesome. It. Yeah, I want some of the, can we get some of those chickens? What can we do here? How can we work out an arrangement there, Laura Lee? No, but seriously, though, I remember that weekend, too. You're talking about going out the weekend before, St. Patrick's Day. And I think I went to Tin Roof that weekend. And I remember being just a little freaked out because, you know, things were really ramping up. But I was like, you know, this is probably the last time I'm going to be able to do this. So I did it. And sure enough, that was pretty much the last time I went out and really enjoyed a bar. So thanks for texting us, Laura Lee.
And she sent us a picture of her and a chicken too.
Ooh,
so
put that
we'll
on social media.
That.
Yeah, send us your pictures. Send us your pictures of quarantine. I know we're like 4 months into this and we should have been doing this from the beginning, but send us some shots of what you're doing. We'll throw it on our social media. We love seeing you guys and knowing what's
going
on.
Show us your plants.
Yeah, and show us your plants too if you've got plants out there. I mean, I'm like, you should see how many Instagram accounts I follow for plants. I've become a plant person. Can you believe that? I've become a plant person.
Oh my God.
Actually, there's a really good Facebook group about it. But anyway, AT, are you doing anything special for America's birthday?
I hope to shoot off fireworks, but my friend who and I, who we always shoot fireworks off together, we always go in and buy a bunch of ordnance, giant exploding fireworks. He just had a kid, so he's a little freaked out about crowds and worried that there are going to be a lot of people. But so I don't know. And we're also going to go play golf tomorrow. Me and Olin, the wife, Gavin. No Gavin. He's going to miss out.
I'm down here. I'm trying to get my old man to take me golfing. I think maybe on Tuesday. Down at the
I would
Charleston
love to
Muni.
Outdrive my father in golf and say, your time is over, old man.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll try and do that then.
I'd say it every single time. I'd say you're weak.
He's been golfing a lot more than I have, but I've golfed with him a few times and I'm like, I think we're almost on the same level in some respects. Maybe.
What are you doing? Huh?
It's just gonna be me, dad, and my stepmom. Like I said, we're gonna be just hanging around. I've been down here for a few days already, so just gonna do what we normally do, just without a few less with a few less people down here, like I usually, because I tag on my birthday to July 4th, you know, America's birthday.
It's his birthday.
It's just not.
Week.
It's just not gonna be as crazy. So we'll probably have some pie. We have sparklers, so it will be.
Apparently, there's a national sparkler shortage, so you're very lucky.
Gee, woo.
That's right. That's breaking news. News you can use.
Wow, folks. If you got sparklers, light them, you know. Smoke them if you got them.
Big if true.
And AT, didn't you have something you wanted to say to Meg Kinnard?
Yeah. Meg Kinnard, we're going to drag you a little bit.
You are. I will not.
No, I just thought it was, I thought it was funny, okay? I just think it's funny.
Follow
that
me here, people.
Gavin texted me and said that Meg is very much enjoying Castle Rock.
As everyone we've heard that has watched that show says.
I'm so happy that Meg likes Castle Rock. But
here's the rub.
When she called in and left her voicemail and challenged me to eat all that American food that I've never eaten.
So good.
Which we still need to work on the deets, but
yes,
it's going to happen. She also said that she would never take a recommendation from me. And I would just like to say that the fact that she's watching Castle Rock is a secondhand recommendation for me, okay? Just because Gavin said it didn't mean I'm not saying it through him. All right?
Yeah, I had to verify that your recommendation was good enough, and therefore it got accepted.
I love this. I love that.
This is your chaos.
I can't be trusted.
This is the chaos that you live for.
Yes. I very much enjoy this, Meg. I miss you very much. I'm glad you like the show.
Yeah. We'll have our massive eating contest soon because just like the Coney Island hot dog contest, they're still slugging those dogs tomorrow.
So gross. Slugging the tube meat. So gross.
Go Chestnut. Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut, he's the man. I like eating hot dogs.
And just before we go, AT, do you know how Miss Piggy and Kermit are celebrating the 4th of July? Are they going to be eating hot dogs?
Well, I like hot dogs, but Piggy doesn't let me eat them, so I have to eat them in secret. Kermit, are you eating hot dogs? Yeah!
Did she just karate chop a hot dog out of his hand?
She karate chopped, he broke his wrist.
Hi-ya!
They're going to be in the emergency room on the 4th. On the 4th.
Yeah, avoid the emergency room on the 4th. Watch out how you're eating hot dogs. Chew them. Don't blow your hand off by any means. Wear your mask. And as you enjoy this July 4th weekend, tune into a Capital 4th on SCE TV stations at 8 p.m. And think about this quote I just came across from author Peter Marshall. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. Great thought right there. And thank you for listening to the pod, y'all. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes or leaving us a voicemail at 803-563-7169. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming a member of the ETV Endowment. Memberships start at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all that great programming your donation helps support. So if you're tapped out from your other streaming services, Passport is a great source for Masterpiece series and so much more great content. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. What's he like, trying to type or something?
He thinks he's people.
He thinks he's... Look how goofy this guy. He thinks he's people. He thinks he's people.
Hey, shut up!
Are you talking to the cat?
Yeah, Chippy is not happy.